Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. We have a show near and dear to me as a big Yankee fan. I am lucky enough to tell you that John Sterling, the voice of the New York Yankees, who is now retired, is the guest on this week's podcast, followed by our Train of Thought segment with Sal Licata. So I had to speak to John, did my best to do something with him. You know, he's not a huge podcast Zoom guy, so he was kind enough to bear with me and gave me 20 solid minutes on his career as the voice of the New York Yankees. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. If you've missed any recent podcasts, make sure you check them out. We had a great episode that dropped on Friday with Malika Andrews. And then earlier in that week, we had an episode with Cody Rhodes from the WWE. So the schedule was a little off last week when we dropped two pods, one with Malika Andrews, one with Cody Rhodes. So make sure you check those out. And if you're not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, hit the subscribe button. And if you can leave a review on Apple and rate the podcast on Apple, that helps tremendously. All right, let's get to it. The voice of the New York Yankees, John Sterling, followed by Traina Thoughts, all right here, right now on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, bittersweet, because I love having him on. I don't love the reason he's on, but retirement or no retirement, he will always be the voice of the New York Yankees, John Sterling. John, thanks for doing this. How are you?
Well, it's my pleasure, and I feel very good about the retirement. It was time. And so now I can basically do what I want any day. So there.
What question are you most sick of getting since this news broke that you are retiring as the Yankees radio voice?
Well, I think people want to know if I'm healthy. And, you know, I've been on the air 64 years. I know that sounds unbelievable. My first day on the air was February 1st, 1960. Give you an idea how long ago it was. So, but anyway, I am fine, and that isn't why I retired. I retired because I couldn't do it anymore. You know, I've worked so long, and I want to stop working. That simple,
right? Yeah, you know, and I think maybe what's a little confusing to people, if that's the right word, is the voice is still there. I mean, you've got those pipes have not faded in any way, shape, or form, which is quite a blessing.
That part is amazing. And the games themselves, just doing the game, that's the easiest thing in the world. But everything else about it is tough. So,
yeah.
So,
I know you're not on Twitter, and I don't know if you, I know
anything else.
I know a lot of people who aren't on those things have people tell them things about what people are saying. And I'm just going to start with this to get it out of the way, and then we'll have some fun. Have you been aware that the Yankees have gotten some backlash because people feel like the gift they gave you, which was an 83-inch television, was sort of maybe cheap and not as grand or as expensive as a gift should have been for all the work you did? And what do you say to that?
Now, I'll tell you, honestly, though, you have to believe me.
I believe you.
Now, I can't believe all the fuss and feathers about my retirement. And the Yankees staged a beautiful day. My kids were all there. And it was great. I didn't want any gifts. And as far as the TV, we don't know what we're going to do with it yet, you know. But we'll think about some things. I don't have any room for it in my place.
83 inches is quite a size for television. But you said to me and you said to others, your plan in retirement is to watch all the Yankee games, all the Met games, all the games on ESPN, MLB Network, the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs. That sounds at least like a really great plan for retirement to me.
Yeah, I think the last night, for example, I watched hockey, basketball, and baseball. So this time of year is terrific. I'm a great sports fan. I'm never going to stop doing that. And you know, my kids are all around here. My friends are all around here. So, you know, I'll have dinners with them. And when a game is on, I'll be watching them.
You talk about being a great sports fan. You know, so many people know you as the voice of the Yankees. You did the games for 36 seasons, over 5,000 regular season games, 211 playoff games. And we can get into all that. But you were a sports talk radio host long before, well, I don't know about long before, but maybe in conjunction with play-by-play. You can maybe, if you want to break down the timing of when you started each. But I'm just curious, once you got into the Yankee gig, was it that you couldn't really do sports talk anymore? Did you not have the desire? Did you ever want to get back into it? Does it still appeal to you doing sports talk radio?
Well, I did a general talk show in Baltimore in the 60s and TV. And then in the 70s at MCA, I did what I should have been doing, a sports talk show. And I did 1 year in Atlanta at WSB. And then I did the Hawks and Braves and then the Yankees. So, you know, when you look at it, Jimmy, I have had the most full career, and I think of myself, frankly, as a very, very fortunate human being.
Tell me what you loved about doing sports talk radio and what you hated about doing sports talk radio.
Well, I didn't really hate anything about it. Once you got on a subject, you'd beat it to death. But, you know, that's part of the talk show scheme. I didn't have any problems with anything, frankly.
That's great. That's great. And I feel like sports talk has changed so much over the years. Do you listen to it now?
Well, every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You know, it still is, you know, debating, you know, what the Knicks should do, what the Mets should do, what the Yankees should do. You know, that kind of thing. And
yeah.
First of all, it's become a great radio programming tool. Mm-hmm. There's a, because of WFAN and its success, there is a sports talk station in every city and every town.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned some of the numbers. 36 seasons with the Yankees, 5,420 regular season games, 211 playoff games. And then I think doesn't get enough attention, the streak of 5,060 straight games from 89 to 2019.
You want to hear this, Jimmy?
Sure.
The streak is a lot longer. It began with my first Hawks game at the beginning of November in 1981. And I never missed a game until mid-2019. But people who put those numbers together, which, by the way, are completely out of order, who cares? But I missed two games in my first year because my sister died. Mm-hmm. And I had to, you know, it was 3 days because they were in Seattle and there was a day off or whatever. And that's it. I don't call that missing games. I call that a death in the family. So actually, it's a lot more than 5,000, but who cares? Doesn't do anything for me. Who cares?
Well, that's impressive. It's an impressive feather in the cap.
Right.
I think. Tell me.
Oh, my God. You mean going to every single game and broadcasting it from the Yankees from 89 to 2019? Well, that's a long time. A lot of games.
Tell me if you have a story. I'd love to know if you have a story or a memory of almost missing a game, whether it was because of a travel incident late to the park. You ever have a close call?
No, and to add to that, in the 80s, you know, I'm broadcasting the Hawks, and the Hawks are in a division with the Central, they called it, and they were cold weather places, Milwaukee, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, and Indiana, and the team would fly early because that was the NBA rule. There was no charter then. Mm-hmm. And the NBA rules, you had to take the first flight. So you got there. And I never flew with the team. I flew in back of it. And in the 8 years I did it, in all those wintry months, I never got stuck. So if you say to yourself, boy, is he lucky, you're right.
Well, yeah, there's always a little luck involved in anything. It's interesting because you talk about the Hawks a lot. And when your retirement became public, on social media, outside of all the Yankee stuff, which we'll get into, the clip that came up more and more and more than anything is an old Braves game from, I believe it was a 4th of July game that went like a million innings deep into the night. I'm just curious, your memory, since so many people brought up that game, your memories of that game, and when you look back on it, what you think about that game and what that was like.
It was a crazy night. There was a rain delay in the first 9 innings. And then the Mets, a much better team, had a 3-run lead in the 13th. And a really nice guy, right-hand hitter. I just went out of my head. Terry Harper. And Terry Harper hit a 3-run home run against a foul screen. And so the game went on. And then the Mets built up a 3-run lead in the 18th. And the worst hitter in sports, Rick Camp, came up. There was no one left on the bench. And Camp hit a 3-run home run to tie the game. You know, that's what everyone remembers and sees.
Right.
But actually, in the 19th inning, he gave up 5 runs. So that was the end of that game. So
that is an all-time regular season game right there. Did the home run calls that you became known for with the Yankees, especially the late, did that ever become almost a burden in a way? Because it just became this thing, and then you had to come up with something, and people were grading it, and people were evaluating everyone. And did you ever have a time where you were like, oh God, I wish I didn't have to do this anymore with the home run calls? Or did you always love it, always embrace it?
Well, one thing, Jimmy, you're right about. It was never intended to be for every player. I did those kind of things before, Dominikus, Bonifique, and things like that. But then one day Bernie hit a home run, and I said, burn, baby, burn, and it took off. And then there were, you know, all the others, Robbie Cano and A-Rod and Bobby Abreu and on and on and on. And now going into this year, it became a thing where I have to do it for everyone, which wasn't the intention. But however, you can't ignore the fact that it had such great wings, great success. So I was very lucky.
I'm sure you heard from everyone with suggestions on home run calls. I'm curious, did a Yankee player ever suggest their own home run call to you?
No, but Nick Swisher did not like my call on him. I called him Jolly Old St. Nick. Right. They said, makes me sound like an old fat man. So I said, okay. And so then I came up with Swishalicious. So,
all right. So we had a correction by Nick Swisher then.
Yeah.
Was it, do you know, listen, if you don't know this, I don't blame you. But for some reason in my head, that Burn Baby Burn, that first one, I remember it being a day game in Minnesota in the old Metrodome. Does that ring a bell, or am I wrong on that?
I don't remember.
Okay. And tell me if I'm wrong about this as well. I feel like, did Mike and the Mad Dog play a huge role in the home runs becoming a thing? Because I remember I was a huge Mike and the Mad Dog FAN listener. And I feel like they were the first ones to really start playing your calls every single day on their show. Do you remember it being that way? Or was it already a thing before they jumped on the bandwagon?
I think they helped me inordinately. But I was first told about it by the Yankee team doctor, a guy named Stuart Hirschhorn. He said, John, you gotta listen to Mike and Mad Dog. They do nothing but play your calls. And I will relate one story to you about that.
Yes.
In 1996, the Yankees played Baltimore. That was the Jeffrey Mayer game. Mm-hmm. And in the 11th inning, Bernie hit one out to win the game. So I told my wife and their friends with her, go downtown to this bar that we always went to, and after the post game, I'll meet you. I'll drive down. And the post game took forever. So when I leave the stadium, Mike and the Mad Dog are still on. What were they doing, a 5-hour show? And I'm driving downtown. And they must have played the Bernie Williams home run about 20 times. That was a wonderful feeling.
Wow, that's great. That is great. We talked a little about the longevity of the career, all the jobs you've had. Is there a venue in any sport that you have not called a game in that you wish you could have called one game in? If you had to pick one venue.
Yeah, Ebbets Field.
Right. Well, that finally, but something before your time.
I loved Ebbets Field. I love the nooks and crannies and the color of it. Yeah, I know that in later years it became a dump, but I love it. And every time I see it, you know, on an old game or TV or something, I get a little bit excited. I like little ballparks with a lot of high walls and nooks and crannies.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough. I'd love to get your take on that. I've always said my favorite stadium that I've been to, this was a long time ago, but right before they tore it down, I got to go to, I saw games in Old Tiger Stadium. That I thought that was such an underrated ballpark.
I think so too. And I'll tell you, coming there, instead of going to the booth, sometimes I go up the next flight of stairs, little flight of stairs, and I'd be in the second deck. And I thought the best seat in the world was in the upper deck in Tiger Stadium. You're over the field.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, if I could see 81 games there, I really would love it.
Yeah.
Not anymore, of course, but, you know.
Yeah, that stadium should be mentioned with the Fenways and the Wrigleys, as far as I'm concerned. It was a great ballpark. Tell me about. I want to just go back to the. Can we go on a little longer? You okay?
Okay.
Okay. A couple of things on the retirement. I know you're sick of talking about it. Just curious. If you're. You know, I don't know what the FAN plan is. I would assume they will announce a full-time replacement. And they came to you for some advice. What advice would you give them?
I would tell that guy or gal to be yourself. Find your own style and, you know, grow with it. And that's all I would tell them. But just be your own person.
Yeah.
See, one thing, Jimmy, about this unbelievably long career, 64 years, the thing I did best is so easy. It's extemporaneous. And I did talk shows, I did disc jockey shows, and I did play-by-play. Well, if you look at them, all three are spontaneous. Mm-hmm. And so there's no script. You go in and just, you do your disc jockey show, you do your ball game, your talk show, but it's all extemporaneous.
Yeah, we just touched on advice for your replacement, and you said be yourself. And I do think I think in broadcasting, so many people forget it's supposed to be entertaining. You're supposed to be an entertainer and it's supposed to be fun. You, from day one, I feel like you got that. Was it always that way? You always knew it was entertainment, even if you're doing play-by-play and, you always brought some... Go ahead.
Well, Jimmy, I live life by the seat of my pants and I broadcast by the seat of my pants. So when I go on to do something, I just do it. So... I'm going on there being myself, and whoever that next person is, that person should be themselves too.
Now, with that,
I'll tell you one thing.
Go ahead.
A friend of mine who, you know, has written for all the big newspapers, mm-hmm. Wally Matthews, he once said a good line. He said, the only people who don't love Sterling are the people who consider baseball as important as a heart attack.
Exactly. Well, my favorite, like, I would love it when you and Susan would talk about Broadway shows and you'd break into song in the middle of the game. I mean, I love that.
Me too. Know.
The reaction to your retirement.
Blown away. What? Just back blown away. Back I didn't page think of the- there'd be any fuss about it. And Debbie Timon put on another great show at the stadium and my kids were all there. And obviously, it's a day that I won't forget. I was blown away. I'm blown away by 45,000 people chanting my name, too. Yeah. Gee, all of that was great. And I thought it was kind of funny. My homely face was on the cover of both newspapers. So anyway, they've treated me unbelievably well. So have the Yankees. So has FAN. And now it's up to me to sort everything out for my next life.
Well, you deserve it. I thank you for all of your years entertaining me as the Yankee voice. I thank you for doing this podcast. Do you have any opinion on podcasts while we're wrapping this up?
There's a lot of talk.
Yeah. And you're talked out. So you've done a lot of talking this whole week. So I will let you go. And again, I thank you for keeping me entertained all these years.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Take care. All right, joining me now, as he does every week for our Train of Thought segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata. Sal, how's it going?
Great. Another week. It's enjoyable, actually, with New York sports. Weather's starting to get a little bit better. I'm enjoying life, Jimmy. The move, I'm starting to get settled in. All good right now.
There's a first. I was gonna say... This has to be such an easy time to do sports talk radio in New York. You got the Knicks rolling. You got the Rangers are in the playoffs, and the Mets turned it around, and the Yankees are always generating some buzz. So good time to – and you have the NFL draft this week, which I'm sure you don't care about.
Yeah, it's fun. It's been a this is a great week. No, we do care about the draft, obviously. We get pumped up about that with the Giants and Jets picking where they are. It sucks that it's against Knicks game three. But, you know, whatever. Yeah, this is, right. I mean, this is what we live for here. Knicks and Rangers. Now, remember, too, you and I grew up listening to Mike and the Dog talk about the Knicks and the Rangers, you know, 25, 30 years ago, whatever. That hasn't happened because the Knicks have been bad for so long. So to be able to be on and talking about them and get into a series, I love it, man. It's great.
Well, I feel like the draft is a perfect TV2 type of thing to watch. So you can balance. Although I will say, I wanted to bring this up, but this leads. I will say, for the draft this year, I think I'm going to go straight Pat McAfee show. He's got Belichick. Why? He's got Belichick as his co-host.
They're doing like a live draft show.
Yeah.
And how do we get the picks? Like, do they announce the pick? They carry that. How does that go?
That I'm not sure. I'm sure they just announce it.
I still like old school hearing the music. The pick is in. Commissioner walks up, announce the pick. Then I'm fine with the reaction. But I want old. I don't even look at social media. I want to watch and have that surprise.
Yeah. I mean, the only way you can do that is if you're not on social media.
Yeah.
Because the picks are always on social media ahead of time. So
it's ruined. It's ruined the drafts. You can't do it.
Right. Right. But I'm fascinated, one, to see Belichick, you know, discuss the draft and get his insight into how he evaluates players. And I'm fascinated to see the combination of Belichick and McAfee.
Yeah, so. If I don't watch it, I'm just going to read your column about it.
Right. So I could put them on YouTube, watch the Knicks on one TV, and I don't know if the Yankees are playing, but we'll maneuver it.
So. Yeah, see, I got to be locked into Knicks situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to know what's going on with the draft, obviously. But anyway.
I'll just say one thing about the Knicks, and this is going to be old by the time this comes out. Whatever happened, fouls, no fouls. The Sixers to say they're going to file a grievance. What do you think is going to happen? You think the NBA is going to make you replay the last 30 seconds? Like, what is, I think I may have pitched this once before to SI, but like, I would love to see a story. Like, outside of the George Brett Pintar game, has there ever been a protest or grievance in the NBA that's ever been useful?
I don't think so.
The point of this?
Yeah, playing the game under protest. And come
yeah. on. And what so, happens? Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. They're not going to replay the game, so what are the Sixers doing?
Right.
I mean, one thing that should be protested. Protested is not the right word, but I just want to say one thing about the Aaron Boone ejection. The insane part of that to me is that MLB is going to do nothing.
What do you want to do?
You can't suspend the umpire for a week?
All right, let me ask you something. Like, and not to compare apples to oranges here, but what do you think's worse, Angel Hernandez or what Wendelstedt did the other day?
Angel Hernandez.
Right, and they don't do shit with him.
Right.
So now we're going to suspend this guy he shouldn't have been as aggressive. He woke up on the wrong side of the bed. He was going after Boone. But like the fact that he heard something, you know, there's 50,000 people there. However many people are there. I know it's an afternoon game. It's against the A's. But you know what I'm saying? Like, how is he supposed to decipher? He could have less rabbit ears, yes. But for him to decipher whether it came from somebody in the dugout or the stands, like.
That's not the issue. That's not the issue. Okay. The reason he should be suspended is because he said two things. One, I don't care who said it. Well, That's the whole point of the ejection, you dope. So you should care who said it.
True.
So here's the thing. If he comes out after the game and goes, you know what? Saw the video. I messed up. Shouldn't have thrown him out. Then no, you don't suspend the guy. People make mistakes. I don't care who said it. Right. And then after that, give all these quotes saying like, well, it doesn't matter who said it. He's the manager of the Yankees. He's the representative. So he goes. Well, now.
Yeah, that's no.
That's why he should be suspended.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. I don't know about suspending, but he's clearly in the wrong many times over. Except you made a mistake. Take some accountability and move the fuck on. But the fact that you're in denial and clearly had an axe to grind, that shows an issue. But I do think it's a problem with baseball with guys like Angel Hernandez and these guys, these old school guys that try to wield that power stick. It's frustrating. But
Angel Hernandez being completely inept at his job and being someone who has no business being a major league umpire has nothing to do with this guy. This
but he also is on a power trip, though. And you're right. I get that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's five pitches into the game. It's the first inning. It's the first batter. And he says, I don't care who said it, and throws out the manager. Yeah. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So that's...
Clearly, though, he probably... You know, Boone does have a history. Now, I love that Boone gets on these guys, but he has a history. Clearly, Wendelstad or whatever had taken that into account.
But even if he has a history, the guy, he didn't say anything. The guy threw him out and then said, I don't care. Well,
it's funny. It was funny to watch it back and hear him yell, another word out of you, you're done. And Boone's like, and literally sits there and takes it. He takes that dismissive, disrespectful talk, doesn't say anything, and still gets thrown out of the game.
Well, the best part is he was thrown out while he's looking at his fingernails. That was the best part of the whole. He's looking at his fingernails and the guy throws him out. Great job by Yes picking up that audio.
Yeah.
I have to give them credit because I ripped them to shreds after they on Saturday morning.
I saw.
Can you explain to me how you don't carry the John Sterling press conference?
What you wrote was exactly how I felt. Not even about the Yes thing, but just about how important it was. So much so that I left the house to run an errand and had to go to the post office. I wanted to get back inside to not miss it.
Right.
But I didn't get back in time. So I sat in my car for 15 minutes, however long it was, listening to every word of Sterling to a point where I got in. My wife goes, where the fuck were you? You're supposed to be in here 15 minutes. I go, sorry, I had to listen to something. Like,
right.
I got in trouble because I wanted to hear Sterling. That's how important that was. I could not believe that they didn't carry it. I didn't know that until I read it.
I was running around doing stuff, raced home to get home at 11:30 to watch it, and I put it on, and they're giving me Bob Lorenz, John Flaherty, and some guy I don't even know, Dave Valley, who has no... Why he's on a Yankee show, I don't understand. And then I'm like, is it... But it was... Here's the thing. They, Yes, kept promoting. Tune in for the John Sterling ceremony. Tune in for the John Sterling ceremony. So I'm like, how could they? And then I'm like, I put on the fan and it was on.
Yeah.
And my blood was boiling when I heard it on the fan because that means Yes just decided not to put it on. Ridiculous. As dumb a decision as you can have. And
I'm with you too. I had no idea who the other guy was. I knew Lorenz and Flaherty. I'm like, who the hell is this? And they said, Dave. And I'm like, Dave who? And then I'm like, can you show who the guy is? Because I don't know who it is. And obviously I remember him as a player. I do not remember him as a Yankee. Was he ever even a Yankee?
I don't think so.
So
I don't know. But remember, here's what I found funny about it too. Remember last week I briefly touched on, I said the Yes booth.
Yes.
Everything about the Yes telecast is stale and everything about the Yes productions of Yankee games needs a revamp.
No continuity,
And then here they are dragging in another analyst. They have eight. I don't know, like every day it's someone new. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to more than anything in all of sports right now. May 5th, it's a Sunday night. May 5th, 8 o'clock, Netflix, live, not edited, the roast of Tom Brady. I cannot wait. Here's why.
Who's doing it?
Well, Kevin Hart's the host. But here's what upped my level of interest. I would have probably watched it if no matter what. But this is what makes this now a must watch and get locked in. Locked in. Live, unedited. Those Comedy Central roasts are all edited.
Huh.
This is going to be... live. So who knows if they start with the Giselle jokes, there's that they can't edit them out.
What's the purpose behind this? Just sheer entertainment? Brady's getting paid, yeah. And he's like, yeah, whatever, I'll do it.
Yeah, Netflix probably is giving him $8 billion. I mean, that's what it is.
I mean, I don't know if I have as much interest in that as you do. Would I be curious to check it out after the fact? Maybe. But
I just love that it's going to be live.
Now, I'd rather it be, all due respect to Kevin Hart, I'd rather see Jeffrey Ross unedited and live. That would be something.
I agree. One of the highlights of my like entertainment career was when I got to go to the Howard Stern birthday show.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Ross and Joan Rivers together did a roast of Howard and Robin.
Oh God.
And it was like top five funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I can't even repeat the jokes. Like, if anyone goes and looks that up, I mean, listen, you're now canceling Jeffrey Ross and Joan Rivers, but like, I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, just one inappropriate joke, hysterical.
I'd love to see Jeffrey Ross do an unedited live. That's great.
Oh my God. But him and Joan Rivers together was, I don't remember that. I don't want to say the joke if I don't tell it right.
Yeah, oh, that's and it. Don't so get Joan,
no, no, I no. This is Joan Rivers' joke, not my joke. This is what happened. She was talking about Howard, and she was talking about Howard being ugly. And she goes, "You're so ugly. If your face was a car, it would be Paul Walker's Porsche."
Oh my God!
Wait, but here's why. Now, okay, fine. Now, see what you just did. Oh my God. That's what the entire arena did. So then that launched, Joan goes, "You're booing? You think I give a shit?" She goes, "You think I give a fuck? I'm 80 years old. What are you going to do? Not book me? I don't give a fuck. Keep booing me." And that was way funnier than the joke. Like, she just started ripping the crowd to shreds for booing
her. I love her too.
She goes, "I'm 80 years old. What are you going to do? Not book me?" It was the funny.
I love Joan Rivers. Always have.
But you're 100% right. Like, Jeffrey Ross would be a billion times better than Kevin Hart. But
and I like Kevin Hart. I'm sure it'll be good. But come on. You're going to do a roast? There's only one guy to get.
I agree. Especially
to that magnitude. With Brady, Netflix, live, pay Jeffrey Ross whatever it is he needs.
There's one thing about the Netflix special that I can't figure out if it's good or it's bad. There's no list of who's roasting. So I don't know. You know, if it's going
to
be like...
That's what turned me off to the Comedy Central ones. I've never been big into it, but like, and I love like the situation, but I don't want to see him do any roasting. Like, they had these people come in and write the jokes for them.
Right.
I'd rather just Jeffrey Ross do it. He's the master at it. Let him do it.
Well, it's always like a group of like 12, 15 people.
Yeah, it's too much. It's stupid. Or like that dude, Anthony Jeselnik, was pretty good at it. He's funny. Like, actual comedians that can do it, I think we're good.
Well, I don't agree with that only because the comedians are the ones writing the jokes, even for the non-comedians. So right, something like there was a roast of I don't remember who it was. Blake Griffin did the roast. Oh, I know what it was. It was Alec Baldwin. It was the roast of Alec Baldwin. For some reason, Blake Griffin was part of the roast of Alec Baldwin.
Right,
and he was hysterically funny.
Yeah,
he was hysterically funny. And like, you know, there was, I don't know. I don't mind if it's not a comedian, if the stuff is funny. But what's interesting with the Brady one is there's zero information. So like, is Gronk going to show up and be a roaster? Like, that's probably not going to be
Peyton
good.
Manning.
Right. Know. Not going to be good. But if, like you said, if you get just Jeffrey Ross and some other comedians, then
how about Bill Belichick?
I mean, I'd love to see it.
That would be fucking great.
You imagine Belichick trying to do a roast?
Oh, Brady, though.
But I'm looking forward to that. That's on May 5th, and it's going to be live. Did you listen to Taylor Swift's new album?
Come on. Do you think I listened to Taylor Swift's new album?
I don't know. Sometimes you surprise me, and you're like, well, it's the biggest thing in the world, so you got to do it. You got to check. You know, sometimes you have that mentality on
it. Do you remember? No. Do you, like, I'm not opposed to listening to it. I've got 9 billion things on my list. Taylor Swift's album is not one. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know she came out with an album, but then it came up. Do you remember last year we talked about this, or 2 years ago? We were doing the podcast, and I told you that my producer at the time took off of work to listen to it.
I do remember that. Yeah.
He did it again. Michael Fliegelman at the Fan. It came up again. He took off of work to listen to the album.
I don't believe it. That's I just don't believe it.
That's his thing.
How could you not know when that album came out? The next day, every single tweet.
I saw it, I didn't know what was coming out.
Right.
And then I saw a little bit about it. And then I was just like, oh, this came out. They're like, yeah, at midnight. And then, you know, whatever. That was it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know it was coming out either. Admit, but then when I woke up the next day, every tweet was about this album. And I'm just like, you know, I just don't get it.
I did read one story where like one song, I guess, was taking shots at Kim Kardashian.
I saw the tweets about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So whatever. That's my extent of it. But I haven't taken the time to listen to it yet.
I'd be Team Kim K.
Over Taylor?
I'm not a Taylor Swift person.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not necessarily either, but I don't know. I got to do more research on that one before I make a decision.
Well, I'm just, listen.
Yeah, you know, it's got to be based, you know, what are we basing it off of?
I was basing it just on looks.
Okay.
I've always been a Kim K fan. That's all.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
We can continue this conversation off the air.
I don't know. I've never gotten to Taylor Swift. I mean, it is amazing though. Like, she comes out with this album, it sets a record for like the Spotify streams and this record and that. Like, everything is a record for her.
She's great. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And you know, the Travis Kelce thing, I wonder, like, next season if it's going to be calmed down at all. Like, it has to be. It can't be like the way it was this past season.
No, but it still will be a thing.
Yeah.
Definitely to a lesser extent.
Right.
Can't be as big of a deal anymore. Oh, here's Taylor Swift. Like, yeah, no shit. I mean, I would hope so.
Right.
Where it will ramp up is if they get engaged.
Right.
That'll take it to another level. Or if she's pregnant or whatever, like, that'll take it to another level.
Yeah. You said you didn't listen to her album. You said you had 8 million things on your list. One day we should get the list. I want to know what's on the list.
I'm going to read you text message that I got from my wife during my radio show today. All right.
Okay.
We had an electrician come to the house.
Right.
He's got to do work on the house, whatever it may be. They don't come on weekends. I'm at work during the day. Like, so I told my wife, and she's been dealing with a lot. I give her credit for it. Okay. But I told her today, all right, they may, you know, power may be out at times. I don't know how long they're going to be there. Maybe a few hours, whatever. She goes, they're still here. This is at 11:57 a.m. They got there at 8:00. Like, of course, they're still going to be there.
They're basically rewiring the house.
Yeah. They're still here. They keep switching power on and off. I'm like, all right, I'm sorry you have to deal with this, but that's, you know, what it is. She goes, you lied. You said 1 hour. You used me. You don't care about me. I feel like you kept me hostage in my own house. Now, I'm doing a radio show, and my phone's going nuts. You ask, because I did say the other day, I go, you know, when are we going to start unpacking here? Because she doesn't unpack the boxes. That's up to me. She's taking care of the baby and doing other stuff.
So wait. Yeah. So you just said she doesn't unpack the boxes. That's up to you.
Yeah.
That's your job.
Right.
But then you said to her, when are we going to unpack?
Yeah.
So you are playing some psychological warfare.
I can't do it all on my own. Like, you got to do something with the boxes. She was sick this weekend, so she throws that in there. She goes, this is the quote I was waiting for here. Sal Licata only, bold, only looks out for himself. And then she said, they said they'll be done, hopefully 2:33. Like, it's just the point of.
But you didn't know that they were going to be there that long.
I mean, what, they're coming for the day. Like, come on. Like, what do you want me to do about it? Anyway, that's one of the 8 million things that I got going on. My wife getting on me. We got to change the licenses over. We got to do food shopping and this. And it just doesn't end. I don't have a second for Taylor Swift's new album.
I mean, if I had nothing on my list, I still wouldn't listen to Taylor Swift's album, but I'm glad I got you all riled up. But here, did you tell your wife it was going to take an hour?
I don't think I said an hour. I said they'll probably be here for a few. There's no way I said an hour. I know what I said was, here's now that I think about it, what I said. I said the power might be out for a little while, maybe to have it out for an hour or something like that. Not that they weren't going to be there all day.
Right.
clearly not going to be there for an hour, but maybe they said you might be without power for a little while, for an hour or so.
So this sounds like the classic husband and wife miscommunication.
I say the reality, she hears what she wants to hear.
I don't want to defend, I don't want to just, you know, defend you on it, but even whether they're there for 1 hour or 8 hours, how are you supposed to take care of it if you're at work?
Well, it's, I'm not, but it's the point of her, again, being inconvenienced, which I get. I just don't know the, like, what am I supposed to do about it?
Right.
Unless you want to come do the show with BT for 4 hours, I'll hang out home. Like, we really don't have any other options. So it's more like, and I know she doesn't really mean all those things. At least I don't think so. But
so naive, Sal.
She's frustrated, and I get it. But, like, it's the point of that moving in and doing the shit. It just, it's awful.
It's never going to end. That's the thing with moving into a house.
Well, at some point, the workers will stop coming there. We're getting to that point. We're just not there yet. But it's always something. Like,
did you say to her that you would stay home with the electricians and she can break down Nick Sixers and Dante DiVincenzo?
No, I didn't fire back. This was one of those I knew how to lay off the gas, Jimmy. Even I have my limits. And I said, it's okay. I'm sorry you have to deal with this. I really appreciate it. I understand. You know, tomorrow I'll be home half a day. And she's like, I'm going out tomorrow on my own. I go, absolutely. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. I'll watch Samira.
It would have been great if you said, do you think you can break down the Hartenstein offensive rebound?
No, I did. When I was on the overnights, I did say that.
Right.
I used to use that line. It didn't go over well. Yeah.
Well, the overnights, you had full sympathy from everyone.
Yeah.
This is now you're supposed to be home at a reasonable hour. And then when you get home, you're watching the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, the Yankees and the Mets.
Yeah. I did leave out that I am going to the Ranger game tonight. She does not have to know that.
Wait, see, yeah. you're a piece of work. You tell this, your wife's stuck at home with the electricians and no power, and you conveniently leave out that you're going to the Ranger game tonight.
Well, I do have to work at SNY afterward anyway, so in between shifts, while I need to kill some time, why not go to game two at the world's most famous for a little while?
When you told her you were going to the Ranger game, how did that go down?
I didn't tell her that.
She doesn't know you're going to the Ranger game?
Correct.
Oh, my God.
I told her I'm working late. That's all. What I do in between really is irrelevant.
You're going to tell her at some point?
Yeah. But I'm got to pick that spot when that's going to happen.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, this is a cliffhanger. Next week, we'll find out how it went when Sal told his wife he decided to go to a Ranger playoff game.
Say a prayer for me. I might need it.
I mean, listen, if you have to work after the Ranger game, it's not like you could have come home.
Right. So that's one in my favor. Where it's not going to be in my favor is that I've, you know, since we moved into the new house, we've had major, you know, I'm just trying to tighten things up and budget restrictions.
You're paying for these tickets?
Well, a ticket. Yes, I paid for a ticket.
Oh, my. So now it's,
She's going to hear that I went to the game, and the first thing is going to say, how'd you get tickets? And when I say, well, you know, if I tell her the truth, I'm going to say that I paid for them. If I tell her the truth.
Oh yeah. Now you're in trouble. Listen, you set it up where, okay, you have to be on the air at SNY at 10:30. You have a couple hours to kill. You go to the Ranger game. Okay.
Well, sounds reasonable. True.
But now you drop in that you're paying for your ticket.
Well, I mean, how am I getting to the game?
Well, you're a media person. I thought maybe you got a free. So now you're paying for the ticket and not telling. Now it's an NHL playoff ticket. So I'd assume it's not a $50 ticket.
No,
it's the playoffs, right?
It's not a $50 ticket. Do you want the exact number, or do you?
Because we're friends, I think you should not give out the exact number unless you plan on telling your wife the exact number.
It's not that bad of a number, but.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
Let me see if I can guess, because I don't know anything about hockey. Like, if it was a Knick ticket, it'd be like $500.
Now, I will say that
it's Madison Square Garden. It's New York City. There's no way the ticket is under $200. There's no way.
Correct.
Don't tell me you're going over $300.
No, and partially because I got hooked up with a guy who was able to get them at like no fees and whatever cost it is, and maybe. 260. Round one, 260.
I mean, you are not pacing yourself.
No, that's I wasn't going to go purposely this year because of all that. And the friend came to me and was like, I got this, it's, you know, good section 260. I'm like, I got to take that deal. I mean, I'm going to, the analogy I use with my wife is like, if you saw a pair of shoes on sale for like 80% off, you'd buy the shoes. Matter of fact, here, let me give you $100. Go buy some shoes if you could find some.
That might be the way to get out of the doghouse. The last part. Yeah. The last part, not the first part. The last part. All right. So basically now you're telling me you got to tighten the budget. You're going to go basically spend $300 to $400 tonight because you're going to get a drink. You're going to get
No drinks, no eating. Although I do need dinner at some point, but no, I want to just strictly go to the game. I got to be careful with that.
Do me a favor when you go to the game in all seriousness for next week, take a picture. I want the concession prices for a play.
Okay.
Like is all your beer like $20? Like I want to know. All right. Well, hopefully Sal will be on the podcast next week and not dead in his new house in Jersey. And that's it. All right. Enjoy the Ranger game.
Yeah. All right, thanks. We'll talk to you
later. Take care, Sal. All right, my many thanks to John Sterling and Sal Licata. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you've missed any recent episodes of SI Media with Jimmy Trina, go into the archives and check them out. We had two episodes last week. Great podcast with Malika Andrews from ESPN's NBA Countdown. And for my wrestling fans out there, we had a phenomenal conversation with the new WWE Undisputed Heavyweight Champion, Cody Rhodes, who finished his story at WrestleMania. So check out those two interviews in the archives and subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Trina. And please, if you can rate and review on Apple, do that as well. All right, that wraps it up. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.